she got to move and motivate. It is time for MM, Motivation Monday. This is Jeffrey Gittimer. I am the author of The Little Red Book of Selling and Truthful Living.
And I'm Jen Gluckow, founder of Sales in a New York Minute. Welcome to Sell or Die, everybody. What's up? Happy Monday.
It is Monday. For those of you in Charlotte, you know it is meatloaf and mashed potatoes at Loopy's.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's a very important part of Monday here. And you probably have your Monday stuff in your city, wherever you are in the world. Things that happen that don't normally happen over the weekend, and all of a sudden they're rejuvenated on Monday, just like your lead list.
I don't know. Sunday's the new Monday for that.
You think so?
Yeah. If you're in sales and you're waiting
Sunday's
for Monday,
the new Monday. Yeah.
And you're waiting for Monday to prep your week,
yeah, that's
you're
way
not
too long.
Very good at sales.
Yeah. So you can't come to work and start to work. You have to have done work so that when you get to work, you can start to produce.
That's right. That's right. So if you're listening for the first time, this is Sell or Die. It's a podcast about sales and personal development, and it's the best damn podcast for sales and personal development on the planet. And it's not just because we say so.
Right. It's the best darn podcast.
Oh, I thought we're rated E.
We are rated E.
Okay.
So it's the best darn fucking podcast on the planet.
Oh, man. So let's read a 5-star review. Guys,
please.
If you have not yet left us a 5-star review,
come on.
Please do.
Yeah, subscribe and bang a couple of those buttons on Overcast if you know.
Yeah, hit the stars, but go on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review, because the more 5-star reviews we get, the better and more easily we can get amazing guests for this podcast. So we need your help.
And we're on path to surpass 100,000 in the next, I'd say, 60 days.
Oh, yeah.
And we need your help.
So
tell
here's
both your friends.
So here's what Frank Gauz, or Frank G. Oz, I'm not sure how to say that.
Frank Oz.
Frank Gauz. Yeah,
I
says,
got it.
This is a good one. He left a 5-star review. He said, just finished listening to all, and I mean all the podcasts from May 1st to today.
Wow.
My head is buzzing, and not because I ingested or drank something I shouldn't. Jeffrey and Jennifer have left me wanting even more after all this. I'd be a little sick of me after that many.
I understand what he means. Oh.
Everyone should just listen to them. That's all you will need to be successful. Frank G. Oz, thank you. That
is an awesome
review.
So
I wonder,
just keep in mind, every 5-star review gets read on the show, so leave yours today on iTunes.
That's right. And I wonder if you're in our private Facebook group. It's the Sell or Die Hards official Facebook group. So make sure you join if you're not yet in there, because we will notify you when we're going live. We're going to do some special lives in there just for you guys. And that's a great place to submit questions that can get answered on the show.
Questions like this one.
Let's hear it.
From Melissa, who wrote on the Sell or Die Hard Facebook page, I sell advertising. I have a hot and motivated lead, but they were burnt from the last company that overcharged and didn't deliver. How can I help them overcome their fear that my company won't do the same? Charge them with no results. Answer, Jen? All right, I'll give it an answer.
No, I'll give you an answer, Melissa.
You had your 3 seconds?
First of all, you know, it's great that you know that fact, that they feel burnt out from the last client.
Very true.
Or the last vendor that they worked with. And we've been in that situation before, not buying sales channel advertising or whatever, but where we have felt burnt out from the last vendor, and therefore we have fear with the next vendor. I think everyone's been there pretty much who's in business.
Yeah.
And so one of the things I would do is I would use a customer testimonial. I would get a customer who felt that exact same way to go on record and on video and say, I felt so burnt out from my last vendor because they charged me with no results. And so I was scared to take that next step, but I'm so glad I did. And here's why. Because if they say it, it's so much more powerful than if you tell them, no, I promise we're going to do a really good job.
Even if the testimonial doesn't say exactly what you want it to say, anybody that says, I advertised with Melissa and I got results, is really all the person needs to hear. They want some third party to corroborate Melissa and her company's claims. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're pretty much a dead duck.
Yeah, and if you can show them results, like not just through customer testimonial videos, but show like, here's how much this client invested, here's the kind of results they got, there you're getting more and more proof to help them overcome their fear.
I agree. So, why don't you let us know if you made a sale last week and where you're from, because we want to celebrate all the sales that our diehards are making. I think it's really important.
Yeah. Let's celebrate your sales, guys. So far here we have, I see Roger.
Oh, Roger.
I see Wes Wyatt.
Whoa.
I see Doug. Hey, Mr. Doug Branson. Crystal says, love the Little Red Book of Selling. Got it from my company, Great American Opportunities, when I got hired. I'm a year into my first sales job and I'm loving it. Go, Crystal. That's awesome. So, guys, we want to know what kind of
sales. By the way,
all
the sound effects are real. We have a live audience.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
and a live producer, and he lively pushes the button to get
Cheers
the sound.
Cheers was taped in front of a live studio audience.
He makes us laugh, so hopefully he makes you laugh, too. But, yeah, definitely tell us if you made a sale last week and what it was, and share this out with your friends.
So, for those of you who don't know, we went through this very quickly. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer, writer, speaker, funny guy, dad, granddad, and we do this Sell or Die podcast now 5 days a week, and we're getting a ton of response, and I thank the audience very much, and I also thank you in advance for sharing this with other people so even more diehards can be born and make more money.
That's right. And I'm Jen Gluckow, and I'm the founder of Sales in a New York Minute. I was delayed because I was actually sharing it out with my audience to make sure that they could all join
as
well.
Yeah, that's a bullshit delay, but okay.
No, it's the truth. It's the truth.
So we have a topic today. Our topic comes from a client who was concerned that his people were a little bit too overconfident, and it was affecting their ability to compete with a serious rival.
Now, there's a difference between being confident and overconfident, and a big distinction between the two. One can help you and one can hurt you.
Sort of. I mean, for me, you have to walk in with a sort of swagger. You have to walk in with a reputation that's Googleable, so because the customer has already Googled you.
Mm-hmm.
So they know kind of what they're in for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even now with your Uber driver, they tell you that that Mary loves to converse. Like, okay, great. The question is,
quiet Uber drivers.
I prefer safe ones.
Yeah.
But exactly. But the bottom line is, they know about the salesperson walking in the door. And can you draw the line between confident and cocky?
Mm-hmm.
Can you draw the line between confident, overconfident, and semi-obnoxious in the way you control your words and your demeanor in the words that you use to try to connect, in the words that you use to try to transfer your ideas to the other person?
And you may not be drawing that line, but I can guarantee you that your customers and your prospects notice the difference and that they're drawing that line.
Right. The question is, do they like you?
Oh, Meredith's here. Dan's here. Hey, guys, what's going on?
The question is not just do they like you, do they have confidence in you?
Mm-hmm.
Do they believe you? And to some degree, do they trust you?
That's right.
So let's look at those four elements as the confidence builders, not the cockiness detractors.
So let's talk about confidence first.
And all right.
I think we have a quote here from Napoleon Hill from your new book, Truthful Living.
Let me read that.
All right.
Napoleon Hill in Truthful Living says, without self-confidence, you cannot hope to develop the other desirable qualities that you will need as an aid to success in any field of endeavor. Like, dudes, walk in confident, not cocky. Walk in and sit down. And I think this is an insightful piece. You have two choices. You can either talk or listen. And The self-confident person doesn't need to talk.
Mm-hmm.
The overconfident person needs to justify his or her existence and starts to brag about who you are and what you do and who cares who you are. But the confident person walks in as an assertive salesperson, not an aggressive salesperson, and begins to ask questions. Questions that will lead to engagement, hopefully emotional engagement, but totally response. And then the salesperson who is confident listens, takes notes, feels good about the conversation, mm-hmm. and adds things as he or she sees fit.
So just as an aside, that quote that just came from that book, mm-hmm. Truthful Living, the Truthful Living is shipping on October 30th. It's available on Amazon for pre-sale and a pre-order or whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
I read it a whole lot of times because I was editing. And when you edit, you have to read it a lot. And I'm so grateful that I got to read it so many times in the past year. I mean, it's a piece of work.
It is the original writings of Napoleon Hill, 20 years before Think and Grow Rich. There are gems that have never been seen before, concepts that have never been offered before. And you'll read Napoleon Hill in the raw, literally, as he was prior to his emergence. These are things that he wrote consciously as an addendum to the courses he was teaching at the George Washington School of Business. And amazing insights you're going to gain into personal development and positive attitude just by reading it once.
And they were lost until now. I mean, they were literally lost in the, I don't even know where.
Imagine the value that you would get if you read it twice.
That's right.
Or three times.
Yeah.
Imagine the worth that you'll have if you sit with your group of salespeople or even your office people and talk about what the value of attitude really is, what the value of confidence really is, mm-hmm. what the value of understanding others really is, what the value of desire really is, what the value of enthusiasm really is. And these are truths and wise affirmations that you can take for your own for a very inexpensive click and buy now.
Dan wants to know if it's better than the keys to success.
It is better than the key. It's better than anything I've ever read of Napoleon Hill, including other earlier works of Hill that are not that well, not that widely known.
And not to give you an ego boost or anything,
but
one of the things I really like about the book, in addition to Napoleon Hill's writing, is that Jeffrey actually gives you an intro to each chapter to tell you like what it's going to be about. And then at the end, he tells you how to implement what Hill wrote 100 years ago, how to implement this today for your life, your career, your sales success, that kind of thing. And so you literally get like an action plan at the end of each chapter from Jeffrey. And there's his Gitomer notes throughout. So I think it's a really powerful combo.
For $14.95 on Prime. So go Prime it right now.
That's right.
Okay, Prime your own pump.
So we have a few comments here. I just want to make sure we're saying hey to everybody. Make sure to say hey to us in the comments and let us know if you made a sale last week. We want to celebrate you. And also where you're from. We want to know where you're from. So we have Rick Williams, who says the one and only Jeffrey Gitomer. We have Anthony, who wrote something in Spanish, and I don't want to butcher it. And
but it says you're a hell of a girl, Jen.
I think he's trying to say I have your book in my library, but I could be wrong. Someone could translate that.
I believe that is in Italian.
Oh, it's Italian, not Spanish. You are correct, Doug.
And Doug, a recent student of Italian, having re-picked it up from his college education several decades ago.
We have Al Gettler, who says, already pre-ordered. Way to freaking go,
Very good, Al.
Rachel's just joined us. Zach has joined us. So, hey, guys, we're glad you are here.
I'm going to let you in on a secret. I had a conference call with all of the people from Amazon on Friday. They are the people that are actually publishing the book, not just selling the book. There were 7 people on the call, and they were as excited as anybody I've ever dealt with in the publishing industry for the past 25 years. I mean, they were literally on fire about this book. They've all read it. They all get it. They're all trying to share it with their internal coworkers. I mean, this is going to affect people's lives in a very positive way. And I would only recommend that you buy it for yourself and see. Buy it, read it, study it, implement it, bank it.
I like it. Rachel Berlin is here from the wonderful land of cheese, Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Yeah.
I love cheese.
Very nice. They always think they're going to win the Super Bowl. That's what I love about Wisconsin. They
we have a wave from
cheese
Kanata.
On top of their head.
We have a wave from Eduardo. Hey, guys. It's so nice to see you here.
So, Jen, what leads to overconfidence in your opinion?
When you get enough sales to the point that you have a bank of renewals, I think you walk in there thinking, I don't even need to hit my number because I'm already making what I need for my monthly nugget. And all of a sudden, you become overconfident.
Yeah.
And I think it's more of the people who have been doing this for a long time versus the newbies who are just gaining their confidence.
I'm going to throw something at the audience to make you think. Overconfidence actually occurs from a lack of preparation. In other words, you walk in unprepared, thinking you're going to make the sale. You get your hat or your pocketbook handed to you, and you leave with nothing.
Well, it's a chicken and egg thing. Do you think you lack preparedness because you're overconfident, or do you think that you're overconfident, and so now you're like, I don't really need to prepare
as much. Right, I don't really need to do this. I'm the master of what I do.
I know it all.
And I make, I'm from New York.
So how do you know when you're, how do you know when you're too confident, when you're overconfident?
When the customer starts to challenge you and ask you questions that you can't answer, and you're doing the Jackie Gleason bus driver routine from The Honeymooners, and that's what puts you under the bus.
By the way, if you're like my age, just go Google it because I didn't know what that Jeffrey was talking about when he referred
Wait,
to though,
the first Wait, have you
time.
Watched any Honeymooners?
No. If you're my age, you probably have not. So.
Have you, Jen?
Yes. I've
are
watched
they funny
a ton
as hell?
Of them. They're hilarious.
Okay,
they really are. They really are. So if you're just joining us right now for the first time during this episode, what we're talking about is we had a client who was concerned his people were too confident, that they were overconfident, and that it was affecting their ability to compete with a serious rival. And so they were actually losing to the same competitor mm-hmm. over and over and over again because they were too confident. And so that's where we are in this conversation.
And I think one of the things that particular client was concerned with is that he had certain people who did not have to compete with that rival in their territory for a long time. And mm-hmm. they basically had free reign in their own territory and were really successful. But all of a sudden, they were starting to anticipate that rival was going to come into that territory and actually compete, and that those people in that territory were overconfident about things. How often do you see that happen?
You see it happen often, especially in today's marketplace, especially with the internet, because some of the rivals that face companies in today's marketplace don't even live anywhere near them. They're thousands of miles away.
I mean, Barnes & Noble is a perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, they had every opportunity to jump on the Amazon kind of bandwagon and figure a deal out with them. And they said, no, we got this. People are going to still come to our stores and buy.
Their overconfidence was they did not allow for online purchase in the store. Mm-hmm. They thought, no, we don't want to lose that profit. Meanwhile, they're losing their revenue.
So I think it happens all the time with big companies, with small companies, with salespeople, with entrepreneurs. And the key is knowing when you're overconfident. So how do you know? Let's talk about how do you know when you're sort of being too cocky and overconfident?
I'm going to go back to my original statement. You stop preparing. And by preparation, I mean in terms of the customer, not in terms of yourself. You may know everything about your company and your product and your service and all the things that go along with it. But if you don't understand how the customer uses your product or service, benefits from it, produces more from it, profits more from it, you're screwed. And you're screwed down to the floor because somebody's going to come in right behind you or right in front of you and talk to the customer about how the customer wins. Because that's all the customer cares about. They don't care who you are. They don't care what you do. They don't care what your product is until you prove to them in some way that your stuff helps them in a big way.
And sometimes it's a lesson. Like sometimes you don't even know you're being too confident until it's too late, unfortunately. I was working with a client who said, oh, I got this. It's a multi-million dollar deal, and it was to a state. I got the state wrapped around my finger. All those people there, they love me. Yeah. I got this, no worries. And then the next thing I knew, her renewal for, I think it was like $3 to $5 million, was at risk.
You know,
and wait,
I think you hit on a very important point, though. My customers love me. Over.
Yeah.
I mean,
but she literally said, I can quote you on this line, I got them wrapped around my finger. Yeah. I was like, whoa. And that to me was like cocky, you know, very cocky. And literally, she lost the renewal.
I would rather have a salesperson say to me, I work hard every day to earn my customer's business,
mm-hmm.
rather than say, I have this deal wrapped up.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just the overconfidence of that is you're very vulnerable at that point. And you can't put yourself in a position where you're not working hard at it every day. And maintain some humility. You know, maintain just a little bit of, hey, you know, I'm really going to work hard for this deal. I'm very hopeful that I'm going to get it. I feel confident about it, but, you know, I'm still going to work at it as hard as I possibly can.
Yeah.
That's the salesperson I want.
Now, our producer, Doug, looks like he wants to chime in over there.
Well, I was going to say, so we're talking about this fine line between confidence and overconfidence. And I think there's nothing wrong with believing highly in yourself and your abilities to get things done. I think when it slips into overconfidence is when you stop believing in the customer's ability to change their mind mm-hmm. or to look at the competition, and you stop believing that the competition can compete with you. Mm-hmm. And so that's when I think it starts to affect your preparation and your commitment to doing your best.
Yeah, so that belief piece is very important, because once you have the belief and you have the confidence in a good way, not overconfidence, you can then transfer that to the customer. But the second you cross that line and you become overconfident, that also transfers to the customer, and they realize you're acting like a jackass.
So let me explain something in the reality of the world of sales. I guarantee you that your competition right now is having a meeting on the other side of town or the other side of the country about how to kick your ass. And if you're not prepping in a way that proves that there's value beyond your product or your service, you're screwed.
Well, you need to be having that same meeting about how to kick their ass.
The best way to do that, by the way, is subscribe to the Gittimer Learning Academy, but that's a whole other issue.
So we have, by the way, a few more joiners that I want to say hey to.
Okay, cool.
We have Ken Walls. What's up? The great Ken Walls. How you doing? We have Rick Williams, confident yet humble. I like that. Dan said, pros always take batting practice, and it's true.
Yep,
it's true.
They also field ground balls.
Yeah.
They also throw the ball to first if you're in the infield, and they, you know, fungo each other in the outfield.
So Al says, Doug, get a camera, dude. You're the voice of mystery.
Hey, be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
Yeah. We actually should do that, Doug.
You don't know what this face looks like.
Exactly. And you're never going to find out, according to Doug.
So Ken wants everyone to know that my nails are on point, as usual. Thank you, Ken. I really appreciate that.
And we actually have a third party here in the control room.
Oh, we do.
Who never says
a fourth party.
Huh?
Technically a fourth party.
Technically a fourth party.
Yeah.
And he's been the silent power.
We're not going to reveal him
yet. No. One day he'll reveal himself.
Yeah, maybe one day he'll come in the booth and introduce himself
exactly.
to you guys.
Sit down with us and shoot the breeze.
Yeah. But we have Chris Waters here who says, good afternoon. Andrew, hello. What's up? Guys, thank you for joining us. We're talking about confidence and cockiness and overconfidence today.
If you're a sales manager, by the way, a diehard sales manager, and you're trying to reduce that cockiness in your salespeople, there's only two ways of doing it. Number one, have your salespeople record their conversations with customers. That to me is the A number one thing, because there, those guys are alone. The second way is to go with your salespeople and observe what it is that they say or do, but they may not say the same thing or do the same thing when you are there.
That's very true.
They'll temper it. So my recommendation is you make recording mandatory. And you record sales conversations one a week and listen to them. Mm-hmm. And that's going to tell you immediately. I will also, by the way, tell the salesperson immediately. When they play back their own sales pitch, they're going to hear a hell of a lot more detail than they ever imagined.
And sometimes for sales managers, when you have that one person on the team who's overconfident, it mm-hmm. sort of becomes like a virus and can begin to affect the rest of the team. And sometimes you have to make that decision, stay or go, or coach, you know, and it's a hard choice.
It becomes the swagger sneeze. It just starts spreading
exactly.
all around the office.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Oh, cool. Dan just ordered Truthful Living. That's awesome.
Very well done.
I love
done.
That. Randall Kenneth Jones, what's up? Oh, we have
love
to
that
chat.
Guy.
We have to connect. He has a great book.
Our people will reach out to your people.
And go back in the archives and listen to RKJ's episode on Sell or Die.
Oh, yeah.
He had a great episode.
This guy will impress the hell out of you. You think, oh, who the hell's Randall Kenneth Jones? This guy rocks.
Mm-hmm.
He's talked to more people than you and me and Jen and Doug put together.
That's right. He's been able to get them to open up because he's not overconfident.
Right.
He's confident.
But he asks questions that make you answer.
Yeah.
How many times have you cheated on your husband?
Oh, man.
That's a leading question.
All right.
Randall,
this is Motivation Monday. We want you to go out and be confident. So let's read that Truthful Living quote one more time.
Okay, I'll do it.
I love it. It's such a good quote.
Napoleon Hill in Truthful Living. Without self-confidence, you cannot hope to develop the other desirable qualities that you will need as an aid to success in any field of endeavor. And we're talking about things that go way, way, way beyond confidence. We're talking about your attitude. We're talking about your desire. We're talking about your self-belief. And we're talking about your enthusiasm. And those things all need to be tempered with confidence.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I mean tempered, because sometimes you get caught, you know, you make a sale and the first thing you want to start doing is bragging all over the place. And I'm just going to tell you that when you make a sale, to me, if you don't have the money and you haven't banked the money, and the money hasn't cleared the bank, you've made nothing.
You haven't actually made the sale.
Exactly. And when you make the sale, why don't you tell me how many referrals you expect to get as a result of building the relationship with that customer, not that you asked for, but that you earned.
So guys, if you're just joining us and you made a sale, tell us about that sale so we can celebrate you this week.
Yeah.
And also, tell us where you're from. We want to know where you're from. I love that. Our diehards are networking. Ken Walsh just sent Kenneth Randall Jones a friend request.
Oh, cool.
That's
so
awesome.
We have one question.
He should come on your show. He's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have a diehard question.
Well, all right, let's hear it.
You go for it.
All right. Augusto writes, oh, by the way, he posted this in our private Facebook group mm-hmm. that you can join. It's just the Sell or Diehards official Facebook group. So just send us a request and we'll add you. He writes, I'm starting to offer mobile phone plans for companies and individuals. I want to know how to give value first, or maybe how to make the first approach. These people don't know me yet or about the service that I'm selling.
You got an idea? I got one right away.
Go for it, Jeffrey.
Okay. I think you should pre-record a half a dozen amazing voicemail messages and share them with people like, you know, Mr. Jones, you don't know me. I'm Augusto. And what I do is create voicemails for people whose voicemail is dorky. How's yours? It's kind of dorky. I tell people how important their call is and that I swear to God I'll call them back as soon as I can. Yeah, that's it. As soon as I can, Mo. Well, if Augusto decides that he's going to become a voicemail expert, both in conveying a voicemail and in leaving a voicemail, all of a sudden, customers will ask him in. Otherwise, you're a phone guy, dime a dozen.
Mm.
And I'm going to go with one of the big four, no matter what you tell me, and price is not really an object. I'm going to go with the company that I trust the most.
But price is an object for some people, and you might be able to give them a comparison report for how much they're spending and what they're getting versus a free evaluation of some sort versus what they would get with you for the same amount of money or less.
Yeah, I'm not one of those people, but some people are.
But some people are,
yeah.
Right. So that's another option as well.
However, I would really love to have a voicemail that gets a response. I would really love to have a voicemail where people go, well, that's a cool voicemail.
That requires Augusto and being able to be very creative with thinking about other people's businesses.
Oh, the poor putty.
And he may even have to work. Get responses.
He may even have to work hard. So,
but that
Augusto,
is a great way. I like it, Jeffrey.
Yeah,
like
it's it. It's a good way. And you'll have to turn off CSI Cleveland and get back to your thinking and creating great voicemails. And you know what? I'll guarantee if you Google, Mother Google, great voicemail messages, you'll find probably 500 of them. Mm. What do you bet?
Mm-hmm. Great cast on CSI Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
I love the cast.
It's all the people that used to be in Cleveland but left.
They're trying to figure out where LeBron went. That's their latest mystery.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think he went west of the Rockies. I'm not 100% positive. Because I was, me personally, I was hoping for Philly. I just didn't get my wish.
Shocking. You were hoping for Philly for something?
Yeah.
Whoa, no.
Okay, thank you very kindly.
So Chris is here. He says he's working the I-35 corridor between San Antonio and South Austin.
Yeah.
Cool.
And what's your point?
We asked to know where people
are
from.
Oh, where they're from.
It looks like, I'm looking at his profile, it looks like he's a State Farm agent.
We
love State Farm.
Yeah, we do.
And we love creeping on our listeners, too.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, we...
Well, he didn't say, so I had
We're
to
not
check
big
it out.
Creeps. We're just minor creeps. We like creep on, creep off. It's like wax on, wax off.
Oh,
it's like
it's
one of those karate things. We chop people a little bit and then we leave.
And Ken Walls, by the way, was also on Sell or Die. He has a previous episode on there as well. So you should all go check it out. He was awesome on our show. Thank you.
But Randall. Randall rocked it. No, seriously, Ken, we're happy to have you again. That's how good you were.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Not anytime soon. But we are happy to have you again. Before the winter sets in. How about that in Columbus? Because when the winter sets in, you can't do anything.
Yeah, you can't go anywhere, can you?
So we are going to be, I'm going to be headed to Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I'm headed to Dallas. I'm headed to Chicago. And I'm hopefully headed to Philadelphia,
mm-hmm.
but you can buy tickets right now.
Yeah, just go to seegittimer.com, seegittimer.com, and you can click on your city if it's one of those four.
Yep.
And buy your tickets. It looks like we have another question from our Sell or Die Hard group just in.
From?
It says, you finish... Oh. Yeah. It's from Sean, who says, you finished with your appointment, and as you're leaving, you see a business across the way that looks interesting. Time for a quick cold call. When you get there, you see the no soliciting sign. Do people still have those?
Yeah.
What do you typically do?
You walk in and solicit. That's probably the best thing to do. Where's your balls? You need sales balls to make sales calls.
Yeah. I would walk in anyway, and I would make a joke about it. Like, you know.
This for people selling perfume and stuff. It's not for you. You're a genuine business B2B person. And you're there to establish a relationship. And the guy across the street's already your customer. Come
right.
on.
Right.
You have every reason to go. And by the way, Sean, with your accent drab over the A, don't think we don't notice that.
I love that.
Yep.
I love
that. So no one mispronounces it seeing or something.
Yeah.
But I think that you need to look at yourself from the perspective of you're trying to help people get better, do better, earn more, be more productive, have a better attitude. What the hell is soliciting about that?
Well, that's the thing. If you have this deep internal belief that when you go there, you're not actually going there to sell them something, that might be a byproduct of when you go there, but your deep internal belief is that you're going there to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's profit more, spend less time on a certain task, whatever it is, however you're going to help them achieve their goals, then it's not about soliciting anymore. It's about helping. And just
walk
right
in. Walk into the gatekeeper and say, I need your help.
Yeah, and on your way out, take a picture with a sign and a selfie.
Yeah, exactly.
So, have some fun.
So, that's funny as hell, by the way. Just one truth about no soliciting. When I first moved to Charlotte in the late 80s, I would cold call in the office buildings there. Every building, I'd start at the top floor, work my way down. And they all had no soliciting signs on the front door. And I found out that all they could do is throw you into the hallway. They couldn't throw you out of the building. And that became a sort of a watchword for me that I didn't care anymore.
Yeah, I just ignore the sign. I mean, who cares?
I mean,
there's signs all the time that say no dogs. I bring my dog anyway. It just doesn't apply to me, I don't think.
Can't you read? Didn't you see the sign? No.
What sign? Not this dog. Not that sale.
So Ken says
only people who buy all the time put those signs up.
Exactly.
He also, just for the record, says, Jen, you're so nice. Keep working on Jeffrey.
Oh, cool. All right. Well, this is my statement to you. If you are chicken shit about a no soliciting sign, you might want to just quit sales.
Yeah, it's not for you. Let's put a link to Sean's question to Motivation Monday so he knows that we're answering it right now.
And let's look at it this way. You're in sales to have a good time and help other people. If you do both of those things when you walk into somebody's office, they're not going to throw you out.
No, they're going to be so happy you're there.
Exactly.
So Jeff Ginsburg says, working in Pedego Electric Bikes in Irvine, the water brewery. Cool.
Huh?
That's awesome. We're glad you're here. Thank you for joining us.
Irvine.
Irvine? Yeah, Irvine. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Zach says true about the dog. He would know. I mean,
exactly.
It's true. What sign?
So who's the guy in Irvine?
Jeff Ginsburg.
Please go out and have an In and Out Burger in our honor, because we can't get him here in Charlotte.
No, we can't. Not yet. We can get Shake Shack now. That's a new thing.
It's all about the French fries.
Yeah, but actually, he's a retail health consultant, it says, so he on ain't his Facebook profile at the Health Direct Nutrition. You might not be eating an In-N-Out burger. How
I don't know. You may. They have them with lettuce now. If you want no taste. So, I want to thank everybody for Motivation Monday. We have an amazing guest on Tuesday.
Yeah, we do. The introverts expert. So if you feel like you're a little bit introverted, don't you worry. We've got the answer for you. Matthew
Pillard.
Matthew Pillard, author, raconteur, and introverted sales guy.
And he actually came to Charlotte to our studios for this recording. He's freaking amazing.
You'll love this guy. Yeah. He's real cool. So and tune in tomorrow.
Doug, what do we have coming up for the rest of the week?
Well, we've got a Wednesday sales manager spotlight. Ooh. So learn some leadership tactics from the best in the game. And then we have a great show coming up on Thursday. And then Friday, of course, best of. So you can get it's a new thing we're doing. So we used to do these once a month. Now we're doing them once a week.
Ooh.
It's a little taste of each of the things that we're doing throughout the week. Really cool stuff.
Hey, guys, it is so much fun talking to you every day of the week now.
Yeah, because you can't talk back unless you type something. That helps a lot.
You can only talk back on one of the shows.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm having a blast. I know you're having a blast. And we want to keep doing this. We just need your help. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. We'll read it on the show, and we will be very grateful.
We have a goal here at Sell or Die. Help you make more sales and thereby make more money.
That's right.
If you get that, then you get Sell or Die and you become a diehard that listens every day and participates.
Yeah, so we have a question from Paul.
But we're out of time.
Do we have time for one last question?
All right, go ahead.
If not, we can answer it next week.
Now we'll go.
All right, let's do it. Paul, you're in luck. Paul from bridgecable.com. Any help on selling in bid work? Construction type work that demands lowest bids. Dun, dun, dun.
Bid $1 for everything.
Oh, God.
Or just hide the price somewhere.
How can you hide the price if the bid demands the price?
Listen, well, let me get serious about it. Go to the person that created the RFP and try to change it to where it favors the person who's the best company, not necessarily the lowest price. And so you say, if bids are within 3% of one another or 5% of one another, then it's the company's option to choose who they think would be the best vendor.
Yeah, so that begins, though, with forming a trustworthy enough relationship where you can actually have that real conversation with the person. And here's the key. If you're not having that conversation with the person asking for the bid, your competition probably is, because most of those requests for proposals and bids and stuff like that that I've seen, they're made so that only one company can win.
They're kind of bogus. Yeah, I agree. Yeah. They're kind of bogus. But what you want to make certain of is that your bid is such that you make a profit the stupid competitors that you have that just try to get the work and make no money will not be a competitor for very long. They will bite the dust. Your job is to make a profit. Profit is the cleanest word in sales.
I like it.
Great question from Paul, by the way. We love answering those types of sales
really
questions
do.
On Motivation Monday.
Yep.
And please let us know if you made a sale this week. Definitely let us know here on Motivation Monday because we want to celebrate your sales.
It's so weird. No one has typed in their sale from last week.
Because they didn't make one.
I guarantee we have more than one diehard here who has made a sale. So next week, your challenge is to come prepared with a sale that you made so that we can celebrate you. We're dying to celebrate you.
Here's the deal. You don't have to reveal your company or your customer. You can leave everything silent with X's or whatever so that we won't in any way harm you or make your competition aware of what you did. But I'd like to know the strategy that you used. I'd like to know how you closed the deal.
An
I'd like to know
obstacle you overcame.
Yeah. Or how long it took. What was the sales cycle like?
Mm-hmm.
Was there a key moment when you knew you had it?
Yeah.
You know, just talk to us because your talk will help other people make more sales.
That's right. So Dan has already told us in this chat here that he's going to give us a 5-star review on iTunes.
Thank you, Dan. Thank you, Dan. Hell of a guy, Dan. You're one of my favorite people on the planet. I swear to God.
We will read your review next week.
Okay, cool.
All right.
We will look forward to seeing all of you diehards tomorrow and for the rest of the week and for the next week after that and for the week after that. So I'm not going to tell you to have a nice day. I'm going to
go kick your own ass.
No. And have a nice rest of the week. But after that, we hope it's shit. No, I want you to have a great life and a great time and be healthy and happy and prosper and make a ton of money.
Wait a minute. We got a sale.
Oh, my God.
Check this out. Matt Nelson. I love that. Cha-ching. Matt Nelson, 220K deal closed last week.
Whoa.
Assistance paid
Matt,
off.
Matt, good.
Go, Matt. Go. It's like virtual high five.
Virtual high five. Okay, so thank you very much, diehards. I'm Jeffrey Gittimer.
And I'm Jen Gluckow.
And I'm reminding you to get out there and sell something, even if your ass falls off.
Oh, yeah.